I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
County Board of Supervisors, December 1st, 2020. We're... Carnival, I'm gonna take that off. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
I have none. Speak with department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. We're still working on the election stuff, so trying to finish things up. And just very busy in the office, and that's it.
So the Congress race between Millen Beeks and Hart, done, final?
The state would have done their final canvas yesterday, so I don't know where it's gonna go after that. Because I understand it was like just a 6-vote difference.
We're done, though.
So, yeah, we're done unless they request something. I don't know what else they can do, but that's not my part to determine.
Thanks, Terry. Colin Gersh, IT.
No, I just keep busy like always, nothing really important.
Okay, thank you. Rodney Buesner, Maintenance.
Good morning, Sam. Just keeping busy, preparing for these winter months. Nothing to report. Thank you.
Thank you, Rodney. Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. We're working on a funding application. It's our turn to apply, I guess, for some funding that comes around about every 4 years or so. So I'll be putting a resolution in front of you guys for that sometime in the, probably next week if I can get everything together. So just a heads up on that. Gravel road-wise, we had that stretch a couple days there, kind of a soaker rain and stuff, and now we're freezing in the morning, so we're just trying to find some afternoons, or next week looks pretty good. Try to get back out and do a little touch-up late. We've got a few potholes and a few things here and there that still need to, like, to get touched up before we get to kind of the full frozen winter. Highway 99 bridge is coming along good. They are installing a cofferdam at the side of the, what will be the new southern pier, so kind of tucked up. Well, basically the south pier goes more or less where the old pier was, right along the toe of the levee. So they're installing that. They have to be able to excavate and remove the rest of the old pier so that they can construct the new pier. So.
Do you get those wood pilings out okay?
They have not gotten going on that yet. They're still waterproofing, I guess would be the way to say it. I mean, it's not a lot of water there, but when you get down, they're that close to the river, you have groundwater. So they've got to do the cofferdam so they can pump out water as they dig the hole deeper. So. So that's to be determined yet. I'm sure they will, but they're just not quite there yet. So, but they are still making good headway, and that's important. People want to know that they're working, and they are working. So, and then I mentioned a couple weeks ago about the next bridge to the north on Highway 99. That will only be a one-lane deal for a day. It will not be a closure. They weren't sure if they'd be able to set their boring rig up and do the soil borings on the bridge and keep one lane open. That is a very narrow bridge, as is the one we're replacing. And they do believe they'll be able to keep it to one lane. So I just wanted to give you a heads up that won't be a closure, which is I'm pleased about, because that would have been a pain. It only been for a day and life would have gone on, but still, you'd prefer not to. So it will be one lane, so it will be some inconvenience. There'll be lights, there'll be traffic control. And I don't have a date for that yet. I just want to let you know that won't be a closure. So that's considerably less inconvenient than it would have been. So, yeah, and we're just still moving along, trying to get back to ditching tomorrow. And we're gonna go as long as the weather lets us go. We'll just see what's going on.
Well, it's snow on the ground last year at this time, so.
Yep, we had 4 inches of snow at the trick or treat last year.
Yep.
So,
my apologies in advance. Back in about 7 seconds.
Yeah, so we'll just keep on going along.
Yeah.
We'll switch our operations to whatever. So right now, when it's frozen in the morning, we have guys out doing some tree cutting and stuff like that. And then sometimes it switches in the afternoon depending on the temperature. And we do have a bid opening next week. So I am going to get with Colin. It'll be at 11 o'clock next Tuesday after the board meeting. I'll go with Colin and we're going to set up a, if he's willing, and he always has been great to work with, set up a stream just so contractors could watch that. And so just as a heads up, that's for the Flint Bottom project. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Ken Heinemann, Community Services.
Good morning. The Seal Region this week is working on writing a letter that's going to go out to the providers and talk about how we can offer training. Our CSN computer system, we're trying to get the providers to enter more and more into our CSN computer system instead of sending us all the paper forms and then we enter everything in. And so one of the things is they can do claims through the CSN computer system now. So we're going to get some training from the CSN people at ISAC and get that out to the providers so that our goal is by July 1st of next year, our new contract can say you can enter those claims in electronically. So that's something we're working on this week. That's about it for now.
Thank you, Kevin. Kevin Glendening, Sheriff-elect.
Things are going well at the jail. Our population is up to 84. We have 12 out of county, 12 adults out of county. So we've kind of come down a little bit from earlier in the month. But at the sheriff's office, we're just kind of working through some of our transition. We'll have some personal actions coming over here in the coming weeks for a new sergeant position to replace me. And then we're made our final offer to one of our new deputies who will start the academy in January. So moving forward with that, and things are going really well.
They said, I shouldn't ask this, but God, he was in, not my first time, a lame duck. So does that sheriff's position need to be filled? Because did that guy have to do anything?
There are a number of responsibilities that that guy does. So.
He's swamped.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
We're pretty quiet. Obviously, jury trials have had a moratorium placed on them again until February. However, we still are doing bench trials, motion hearings, juvenile hearings, although the bulk of those are done by phone or video. But other than that, it's pretty quiet. Knock on wood.
Thank you, Lisa. Krista Fogelmiller, Local Health.
Good morning. We continue to be busy over at Local Health with contact tracing. Our current county numbers is positive cases is 2,916 with 1,749 that have recovered. Our current 14-day rolling percentage is 18%, and that's come down in the last week and a half, so that's a very positive thing. Really encourage people to continue to do their social distancing, their hand washing, and staying home when they're sick. I think that's what's going to continue to bring those numbers down. So, and then I have an agenda item.
When you say 2,000 cases, is that active right now?
No, 2,900. No, that's total since they started the counting those back in March. So 2,916 year to date.
So how many cases are there now?
So again, they have 1,749 that are recovered, but they are 28 days before they recover them. So currently, I think in the system today, we would have had 48 cases that we would have come through the system this morning. But yesterday we had over 100, and those are contact tracing cases. That doesn't mean that those are from just Sunday or whatever. That could have been accumulation of those that were found to be positive since last Thursday, because they didn't do any testing on Thursday. And I'm sure they were probably a lot of cases on Friday. So well, there's quite a few.
It seems to me that they, the way they report is for show, not for what's happening. That, and so the rest of us don't know what to believe. And of course the news, present company not counting, that national news, you don't know, have any idea. You channel one channel and they say one thing, go to another and they say another thing, and it's ridiculous. And they wonder why our elections are screwed up. But anyway, your COVID, I really think that that's been mismanaged the way they report it.
I think probably what I look at is that 14-day rolling percentage. I think that gives you a pretty good idea as far as, you know, obviously this is the percentage of people that go and get tested. And so I think that does give us a good idea of what's happening in the community. I understand it's really difficult with the, you know, having that exact number. That makes it really hard to know. It would be nice, and I think when you go out to the IDPH website, if you go down to one day, it will tell you the number of new cases that day, if you dig deep into that on the system there. I think you can kind of drill down into that, but So again, we see the new cases, and the problem is when does it actually fall into the system as being counted? And so I think we're probably still getting Thursday's cases just because of the backlog.
When you get a hold of somebody, a contact, and I realize it's hard to get their names, and then it's hard to get them to answer the phone, but is it hard once you've talked to them, you encourage them to take a test?
So with the contact tracing, because we were so overwhelmed, Iowa Department of Public Health a couple of weeks ago changed their to just contact tracing immediate household family members. And so, over 70% of the positive cases are usually household contacts. When we, household contacts, they're very willing to go ahead and take that test because they understand that they've been exposed. And obviously, because it is such a high risk to be a household contact, we had more of a struggle with that when we were contacting the people that were within 6 feet for a duration of 15 minutes that were household contacts. A lot of those people wouldn't answer the phone because it comes across public health. And the other thing is that a lot of them didn't want to go test because once you're positive, then you have to stay within the recommendations, which unfortunately that's, you know, really encourage people to follow those recommendations because that's how we prevent that spread, but it has been a challenge.
Thanks, Krista.
You're welcome.
Do we have anybody online?
I have two right now. First one I have on here is Chris Lee Conservation.
Chris Lee Conservation.
Good morning. Just kind of keeping on, getting into winter mode now. But that, I don't really have much to update you on today.
Thanks, Chris.
Zach James, land use.
Zach James, land use.
Zach, if you're talking, we can't hear you. You gotta mute his mic, so I think he's there.
Well, until Zach starts talking, that reminds me, I'll fill a slight gap because I told Zach I'd mention it. I did reach out to Dale Oaks, which is follow-up from our work session from, 2 weeks ago. I meant to call him yesterday, and I just didn't get it done. So I am going to reach back out to him. He was open to a conversation. I sent him the code language. I read the code language. I don't think it was, if he's flexible to it, I don't think it would be a bad substitution in the county's policy. And he was actually open to the conversation and was interested in reading it. So I think I sent you guys an email, but I just followed up on that. So I will try to get him called today or tomorrow and just see what he thought about it. He should have had it over the holidays and had a chance to read it. So heads up.
Need a double set of standards on that because the 2 mile limit throws a different look on it.
Well, I think if it's written properly, the code language is pretty broad as far as the types of a generic language offense, and I'm sure that'll get discussed down here in more detail before that change were to be made, even if Dale's supportive of it. I'm sure you guys love another work session. But as I think as long as you use that language and then give the adjoining landowner, not the subdivider, but the adjoining landowner, the final choice of what they or what the options are, I think it can work out. Dale actually gave me an example of a situation where he's got a neighbor that he made him think about the fact that the fence that's in there, never, they wouldn't work for either one of them. Neither one would have wanted it. And so it was an interesting conversation. So caught him on a good day. He was in a good mood. So I'll take that. And so I did talk to him. And just as another FYI, until Zach chimes in, because Zach's welcome to chime in at any time.
Heard that, Zach?
He's reconnecting by phone right now, so give me a second.
I'm also working with Lee County a little bit on through, well, we Lee County and us use the same attorney, or not attorney, but attorney Lynch, Dallas Lynch, whatever. They reached out to me, or the engineer reached out to me about possible MOU or 2080 or something like that, about being able to help cover snow routes if truck numbers are low due to COVID issues. I have no problem with that. I'm always happy to help neighboring counties out. I was gone last week, but I told Ben I'd work with him, and he sent an email yesterday with a draft policy from Lynch Dallas. I think Amy is their attorney, and I haven't had a chance to look at it, so that very well may be coming your way at some point. Just give you a heads up that there is some conversation there.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. Zach, are you there?
Can you hear me?
You can.
All right, sorry about that. I'm not sure what's going on, but I switched over to my phone here. So things are going well in land use. Got a couple subdivisions where we've seen it. Plats, some of them are just waiting on applications. There may be one, I haven't caught up with Jared yet. There may be one that he did send out last week. We're waiting, somebody's supposed to come in and fill out the application. But so that may be one that's out for review. I don't know, I need to follow up with him. We've got a couple others that we've been reviewing plats for. And so probably see a few more subdivisions here in the near future. And then we continue to work on the ordinance update. We're getting really close, but I think now that we're getting near finalizing and, you know, some of the more specific details that we're trying to figure out, taking a little more time than we hoped. One of those being the fence issue that I heard Brian talking about. So thank you, Brian, for reaching out to Dale on that. And then we've just got a few other issues like that we've been meeting. Or at least offering to meet, going to be meeting with some of our planning and zoning commission members, kind of individually with specific comments that they have, and addressing some of those things. So, yeah, continue to be busy working on that. Otherwise, not a whole lot of new things to report.
Thank you, Zach.
That's mine.
Okay. I think Krista took care of the COVID-19 update. Correspondence.
I have none.
We have a letter from Great River Partnership. Friends, neighbors, community leaders, and business owners. We've seen an incredible escalation of COVID-19 across the state of Iowa. On Monday, November 16th, Des Moines County's positivity rate was 22.6. These cases, which include 160 new diagnoses from November 13th to November 16th, represent real people. The virus impacts their health, their families, and their jobs. Although the death rate for COVID-19 is low, thankfully, mild cases result in kids being unable to attend school, businesses closing temporarily, and family members isolating themselves in their homes. Serious cases that result in hospitalization lead to overworked staff and scarcity of resources. Healthcare workers at Great River are working around the clock in full PPE while caring for COVID-19 patients. Hospitalizations are at an all-time high, and there is a greater percentage of critically ill patients. This is unsustainable for the caregivers on the front lines in Greater Burlington. We owe it to the healthcare heroes to do everything we can to ease the strain on them. It begins with the choices we make every day. We must slow the spread of COVID-19, and we know how to do it. Stay home as much as possible. When you go out and are around other people, be sure that you stay at least 6 feet away from others. Please wear a mask. We can't do anything about the rest of the state, but we can work together to slow the spread of this virus in our Southeast Iowa communities. As we head into Thanksgiving and the holiday season, we ask everyone in Greater Burlington and Des Moines County to make a plan to keep yourselves, your families, and our communities safe. Don't socialize indoors with people who don't live in your household. Don't take our word for it. Federal agencies also recommend this. We know it's tough. When the pandemic began to surface in Southeast Iowa 8 months ago, many people thought it would be winding down by now. Unfortunately, our reality is dire. Anyone can get COVID-19, and there's no way to predict how it will affect you. Right now, the choices you make are the only way to avoid it. Please make smart choices and stay safe. To discussion and vote. We have accounts payable in the amount of $387,823.62.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have payroll reimbursement claims in the amount of $232.90.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Sorry. We have an assignment of tax sale certificate. Number 13-0419. Byron Gashler, 14876 Washington Road, Lot 23, West Burlington, would like Des Moines County to assign over their interest in tax sale certificate number 13-0419 to him. His reason for purchase is for investment purposes. He is offering a compromise of $554 for the tax sale certificate and all subsequent taxes and owing payable at this time for the parcel, as well as the $10 assignment fee. See breakdown below. Tax sale. Of the $1,114 due, he is offering to pay $398. This is the amount of the lien without interest. The 2012 and 2013 mobile home taxes are the years on the certificate. Subsequent mobile home taxes, 2014 through 2021 taxes, of the $1,903 delinquent and due, he is offering to pay $156. This payment is for the second half of 2020, the first half of the 2021 mobile home taxes only, without interest and cost. In the event an Iowa certificate of title is issued to him, he is asking that all prior subsequent mental health mobile home taxes only in the amount of $1,014 without interest and cost be canceled. If you agree to honor his request for the assignment of certificate 130419, please sign where indicated on both the assignment of tax sale certificate and certificate which you will find attached. As you're aware, Mr. Gashler has purchased a number of mobile homes over the last couple of years similar to this. He's making us an offer on this one. The trailer in question has been abandoned for 8 to 10 years. And naturally, we aren't getting anything for it. And the treasurer even drove out there to look at the property, and it's not very good shape. This is quite likely the best and only offer we will get on this property. And the treasurer and I both recommend accepting this offer and putting it back on the tax rolls.
I'll second that then.
You're making a motion.
Well, you did.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. Terry?
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
I Cunningham. We have canceled outstanding checks over 1 year old. According to Iowa Code Chapter 331.554, a check outstanding for more than 1 year should be canceled by the auditor, and the amount of the check shall be credited to the fund upon which the check was drawn. Listed below are outstanding checks that are at least 1 year old. Check for the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation for $7,493.22. ISRO for $150, I don't know what that is. Dr. Anthony Tatman, $10, 34 Raceways, $27.50. Mary Fortin, $190.70. Humphrey Law Office, $224.80. Farmers National Company, $1,635. This isn't necessary. Quite often these are checks that haven't cleared, but they have to be
But they're all year old.
They're all year old. They have to be canceled.
I move to approve.
Sorry.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Those people came up and said, hey, I found this check that I lost and you canceled it. Can they get nothing?
I believe if they do state a claim that we can reissue it.
I think I've asked that question before.
Yeah, I think I've asked it once or twice over the years. Okay, we have a approval of the weed commissioner certification.
This is Jeff Chase is the weed commissioner. This is something we do annually, and I think traditionally annually we're late. So he prepares this, he sends it down. I see no reason at any point for him to sit here, and so I'm just asking for your approval. It's just a required process for to send stuff off to the state. I don't even have a copy of it, to be honest with you, so if anybody's interested, they're welcome to it. It's exciting stuff.
I saw it ran over. Okay. Do I have a motion?
Karen, Jim.
I didn't hear you.
Jim motion to approve. I just need a second.
You will second that, Bob?
Yeah, a second.
Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. And we have approval of the weed commissioner's report.
Same thing, another exciting document. Like I said, you're looking for something to fall asleep to, you're welcome to have a copy of it and read it. Otherwise, I request your approval.
I'll make a motion to approve it without Bob reading it.
You want me to tell you, you don't know how many curly docks or moldiflora roses or?
Yeah.
Canadian thistles.
Canadian thistles.
How many guys got there?
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. The weed commissioner is actually a title that falls under the responsibility of the Board of Supervisors and is handled by Jeff Chase, which is obviously one of my superintendents, but somewhat on behalf of the Board of Supervisors.
It's the chairman's job. He ain't been out there doing it, right?
Well, he has been slacking.
I wouldn't recognize a can of thistle from a milkweed, so.
I saw his yard. I suspect Mrs. Brokaw does the yard work.
Milkweeds are a good deal.
What
now
she tells
used
me.
To be farmer's worst enemy.
Yeah.
Other monarch butterfly's best friend.
Right.
We have personnel actions. For the correctional center, We have one, Curtis Kenny, full-time correctional officer, unpaid time off of 13.93 hours.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Two personnel actions for local health. We have Dorothy Ickes, certified nurse aide, new hire, part-time CNA, salary $14.14 an hour. And Michelle Van Zeden, a disease prevention specialist, a new hire, temporary disease prevention specialist at $23.88 an hour, temporary position ending January 31st, 2021.
Move to approve both of them.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have the reports. We have the report from the Southeast Iowa Regional Airport Authority, their annual audit report for the period ending June 30, 2020. And we have the jail statistics for October 2020. These reports will be on file at the auditor's office and available for public review. We have minutes for the regular meeting of November 17th, 2020.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have minutes for the special meeting of November 25th, 2020.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. This doesn't work quite as smoothly when you can't slide it back and forth.
No, it doesn't. Not at all.
And that disease special.
If I'd known that it was this much work involved, I might not have run for this office. Any other business?
I have none.
Future agenda items. Committee reports. I attended a meeting of the Cobco board, went through the claims data for the last year, and approved changes to the 457 deferred compensation plan, and discussed a temporary problem with documentation for out-of-state providers. So anybody has gotten a bill from an out-of-state provider in the last couple, 3 weeks, there's a software problem. Anyway, so that bill is not making it, or the name of the provider isn't making it to Two Rivers. So what they're doing is they're sending a check to everyone. Of course, I can't see this causing any problems. That check to the sender, you're supposed to make out a check and send it to that provider. Fortunately, this only is, we're probably close to the end of it now. It's been going on about 4 weeks and maybe another couple weeks, and they'll have it ironed out. But if you know anybody that wonders why they got a check from insurer, for there should be an explanation with it. Have them call Carolyn Phillips. Anyway, that's all I have. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, since we have limited seating, anyone with a comment may call the board at 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4, or email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com. We'll give you 2 minutes. In the meantime, is there any public comment from anyone in attendance? Let me down here, Bob.
So, Bob, who will be the new chief down there?
Is anybody going to say goodbye to John Gaines? So I can put it in this story. Yeah. This is John Gaines' last day. He's leaving the Hawkeye. And I just learned this last week. We don't have any editorial people there anymore. It's all done in Iowa City and Des Moines. And Michelle Niehaus runs the newsroom now, which consists of Michelle, Leah, John Loretta's photographer, and two freelancers named Bob. And that's it.
John's a nice guy. Done a good job. We'll miss him.
You're wishing the best.
Wish him the best, yeah.
Thank you.
He'll probably cut that out of his story.
I still say he's a good photographer. I still say he was a good photographer.
He still is a good photographer.
Yeah.
I read the paper, the article about that, and he said he still liked to, he still does photography.
Or my granddaughter's always had a picture to take.
So next Tuesday is our budget kickoff meeting too. That's another thing coming up again.
Right.
11:30 at the First Church of the Nazarene.
Is that okay? The church out there across from McDonald's.
On Roosevelt, yeah.
South end of town.
Yep.
61.
Aye.
With an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
We're adjourned.